From beach towels to tea towels, and from mugs to water bottles, the TNT Shop has it all. Browse our shop now at tntradio.live. No propaganda, no lies, and definitely no BS. You're with George Eliason, live from Donbas, Ukraine, on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome to the top of the weekend. Now, we've got Donald Trump's election attorney, Christina Bob, coming by a little bit later. But what's in the news today, and this is kind of breaking, according to Carrie Fisher, confirmed on election day, the tabulators rejected nearly 250,000 vote attempts in Arizona. And she says that what happened in Arizona is an assault on our country. That needs to be fixed. And quite frankly, I agree with her. And everyone should. It doesn't matter what party you're with. Do you realize this whole voting machine debacle started with a guy named Chuck Tagle, who had never run for office before and decided he wanted to be a senator, so he started a voting company or helped get it off the ground. And guess which one it was? It was the actual predecessor to Dominion, the actual first evolution of it. And guess what? Old Chuck went from not being known to being a U.S. senator, like lickety-split, first election. Never happens that way. So this isn't a matter of, oh, the Democrats bad. This is a matter of, look, we have a problem that needs to be solved. And Georgia is another classic example of that. It was the first time in 2002 that these machines were used in a state election. And they paved the way for it to go national. When the election machines and the actual election was looked at, there was so much screwing around. And yet it was never dealt with. I mean, they actually, the researcher even found a file called Rob Georgia. Hello? Rob Georgia. Yeah. Well, it turned out Rob was the name of the tech that Diebold, which is a predecessor to Dominion, it's the system Dominion uses, had their machines for the first time in Georgia. Now, these were changed out in 2020 for the 2020 election. They would have been safer than the Dominion ones, but that's an aside. Okay, the reason why they're safer is because they couldn't go online anymore. Bada bing, bada boom. You couldn't hack them because you can't get to them because they're no longer capable of going online. It's trying to like make a phone call with a crank phone. You know, you turn a knob, but no one's answering. Well, it is what it is. But the same things that happened in that election happened in 2020 in Georgia. And if you looked at the machines like I did, it was the same thing, same process. They updated the equipment. They went from Windows 95 to Windows 2007. Big upgrade, right? After it was discontinued for, you know, half a dozen years. So Carrie Lake is on a roll, and hopefully they start getting this sorted out. That's what needs to happen. Now, something else in the news. We have Senator Mitt Romney speaking up, wanting to attack Russia. Now, this particular man, anytime the word Russia is mentioned in context with his name, the hair on the back of my neck goes up. And it should for everybody, and you need to understand why. You know, one of the things the U.S. State Department has against Russia is they won't allow the Mormon Church in Russia. Do you know why? Mormon eschatology says it is an imperative for the United States to start World War III against who? Russia. Yeah, and win for the bankers. No, you can't make this stuff up. For the sake of the bankers. Yeah, that's right. And if the Mormons win this great war with Russia, which is World War III, well, then, hey, it's paradise after that. And Bishop Romney can go to paradise and be the God man with his, what does he get, like 72 wives at that point or something? I mean, you know, I don't know. But when it's a religious value, the highest value you have to start a world war, destroy the world so you can become a god yourself, he's not a guy we want near foreign policy. So I'm really glad that he never got elected, because that's where this guy actually is in life. That's his mentality. And he can't get away from it. And you can't convince me otherwise. You know, in reality, religion marks your life if you're religious. I'm a Christian. Most of what I do, it's not, you know, in the front of my head anymore, but it's always in the back. And I treat people in that light. I do things in that light. And honestly, it's just natural. But if natural for you is, you know, destroying everybody on earth so you can become God, okay, yeah, we elect these people to the Senate. We're doing good. It all started in Massachusetts, and quite frankly, I'm a Bostonian. So yeah, okay. You know, there's a lot of blame going that way. But that's an aside. Now, I also want to discuss really quick something that Peter Morici brought up. Something that Peter Morici brought up the other day when he was on. And the last thing, and you know, sadly, it was in the last couple of minutes of the show and it couldn't be answered. But he said that Russia had kidnapped all these children. Well, the way the actual story goes in mainstream media is that Russia started transferring kids from Ukrainian territories as soon as 2014. As of the 22nd of March, Ukrainian U.S. authorities claim more than 2,300 children had been, quote unquote, kidnapped by Russian forces from Donetsk and Lugansk. Now, what's this about? This is about people with families in Donbass getting their kids the hell out of the war zone. And that's all it was about. And, you know, quite frankly, I take an umbrage at fake stories like this, because, it, you know, it's just wrong. If you want to run propaganda, leave the kids out of it. What do you think? Leave the kids out of it. Now, I've just been told that Christina Bob is here. She's actually early. I wasn't expecting her until 20 past. If you don't know who Christina is, she's a former Marine major that served in the United States Marine Corps as a judge advocate. She's been a civil litigation attorney, an investigative journal, and White House journal for OAN. She's a former executive secretary for the Department of Homeland Security, and she's the attorney for the Trump campaign 2024. Now, a few days ago, she came out with a new book, and that's what we're going to get into today quite a bit. Stealing Your Vote, the Inside Story of the 2020 Election and What It Means for 2024. Christina, how are you? Thank you for coming on today.
Hey, George, thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
Let's start with the book. Now, this just came out. Is this your first book?
It is. It's my first book, and it just came out on Tuesday.
Brand new. And beyond Amazon, which is where you can find it, and if you want to know what happened inside the election investigation from November all the way through January 6th, from an inside perspective, you need to read this. Where else can they find the book? You have it on Amazon. Where else?
Yeah, it's on Amazon. I think it's available wherever books are sold. So probably online, Barnes and Noble, those types of stores. Mm-hmm. I think Mike Lindell, we were working with Mike Lindell to hopefully get it on mystore.com. I know he's, I love Mike Lindell, and I know we were working with him on that, but I'm not sure if it's actually up there yet.
How's he doing anyway? I haven't seen him in the news at all.
Oh, he's fantastic. I think this week, I've seen a couple clips of him this week at the RNC, the convention that they're having, the voting for the chairmanship, because, you know, that's what he's been working on. So I think he's tied up this week doing that, either trying to win that seat or at least make it difficult for the establishment at the very least, doing what Mike Lindell does, you know, why we all love him.
Now, I had Tyler Nixon on about a week and a half ago, and we were talking about the Trump administration. Now, I know you came on. You were everything coalesced for you in terms of, you know, getting on board hard with Donald Trump on Election Day 2020. You wrote in your book, it was about Arizona. Now, the question I asked...
Sorry, go ahead.
The question I asked Tyler is, would, from 2016 onward, would Donald Trump have rocked the boat so hard if the Democrats weren't trying to destroy him? Do you think, you know, you've gotten to know him personally quite well. Do you think during his administration, he would have played things a lot smoother, or would he have, I mean, he accomplished quite a bit.
He accomplished quite a bit. I mean, he brought peace to the Middle East. He kept us out of war. He was the safest president as far as war casualties go. I don't believe there was a single lethal casualty in the last half of his administration, which is unheard of, you know, in the last several decades, considering our presidents continue to send us into combat. So I don't think I don't think there's anything controversial about his policies whatsoever, the way he played it.
Right.
I think that the media tried to make him look like he was causing problems. The only problems he was causing were that he was returning the power of government back to the American people. And the establishment that has been pulling the levers of power don't like that. So they were the ones rocking the boat and blaming him. It's the same thing. It's the same thing we have seen since the beginning. Oh, he's colluding with Russia. Oh, well, now it turns out that the FBI was colluding with Russia, and Hunter Biden was colluding with Russia. Oh, he had nefarious dealings with the Ukraine. We should impeach him over it. Well, you know, it turns out Joe Biden was the one that had the nefarious dealings with the Ukraine, and Hunter Biden was taking kickbacks being on the board at Burisma. You know, I mean, the list goes on and on and on. Everything they're accusing him of, they were actually doing and trying to blame him for it.
Exactly. Now, do you think that he would have accomplished what he did if the Democrats hadn't lit a fire under him because they were going after him?
I do. I think that he would have accomplished so much more if they had not made him fight all of these petty lies. But and I think that he will do that in his next term. I think his intent going into this, and I can say this from personal knowledge now that I've gotten to know him well, his intent and motivation going into this is purely to save this country and purely to get America back on track so that we don't self-destruct. And everything in his being pushes for that. I mean, what other person do you know who has all of the resources, money, real estate, everything that he has would give that up and put it in jeopardy? I mean, look at what's happened to his businesses with the case in New York on the Trump Organization in New York and all of the accusations that have been hurled against him. Who would knowingly put themselves in the line of fire on every front while also losing money? I mean, now that they've released his tax returns, we can tell he got poorer while he was in office. Who else would do that other than someone who is genuinely trying to save this country? And that's what I think he was doing.
Well, you know, given that you know him, okay, and your opinion of him, what's the worst thing you can say about former President Trump? I'm talking about I don't know if a character flaw is something that I even want to explore, because I understand what his character is. But like, what's the worst thing that you can say about it? Is he too fiery? Is he?
Oh, I love it. I love his fiery personality. I don't find him offensive at all. And I know that people do. And I actually like that. That's just my own, probably. I probably have a personality flaw myself. But
Marines.
Right. It's like, don't take offense. Just go do it. Like, I don't know. But if I like could change something about Donald Trump, I would say, and I hate to say that I would change this because I love it about him. Like I love it, but it probably is not a weakness, but it can be used against him. I wish he was not so accessible. He will talk to anybody and everybody, and he's so friendly and outgoing. He genuinely just loves talking to people, and sometimes that gets him into trouble, you know, and it's not because he has any ill will or, you know, he's aligning with anybody, but he loves talking to everybody. And in his position, I would say, you know, if I can control things, I'd be like, oh, well, maybe let's be more exclusive just to make sure that somebody doesn't hurt you. But he's just not that way. And the reason I hesitate to say, you know, I don't know that I'd actually really want to change it is because I actually think it's a really great virtue. It just also has risks associated with it, you know?
You saw that all on the last term with him over and over again. Appointed officials came back and it really bit him hard over and over and over again. I'm guessing that the vetting is going to be a lot more stringent this time around.
Well, it's not even so much the vetting. You know, his first time in office, he had never worked in the government ever, anywhere, at any level. And so he just didn't know. So he had to rely heavily on the RNC, and he had to rely heavily on Republican operatives to suggest to him who should be around him and who should be his advisors, because he'd never worked in government. And that's not the case this time around. He knows exactly what he wants and what he needs. And I think, it's not so much the vetting. It's that he just needs people who actually have America First values in line, because we know, at least as of back in 2016, the RNC and a lot of those political operatives were not America First. You know, they were rhinos and they wanted to keep the status quo and they didn't want to rock the boat and all of that.
They might as well have voted for Clinton and then Biden.
Right.
Honestly.
Right. Yeah. No. And that's right. And actually, that, just to mention the book again, I get into a lot of the cover up, because the way I like to describe it is I say that Democrats stole the election, but the Republicans covered it up. The Republicans were responsible for burying it and making sure there were no investigations and that the media wasn't talking about it and all that stuff. So they just like keeping
the status
quo.
That's what I want to get into next, actually.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
That's what I want to get into next. No, we're not going to ignore the book. And it's actually a very, very important story. November 2020, you, right after the election, you contact the Giuliani election team.
Right.
You start working with them. And the first state you saw was Arizona.
Right. I was working Arizona and Michigan. And then later I worked on New Mexico. But Arizona, you know, and we saw this play out in the months and years to follow the 2020 election. Arizona had a lot and has a lot of really great patriot fighters. I think probably more than any other state, Arizona had the most elected officials who were willing to fight this fight. The other states all had one or two, you know, in certain areas. But Arizona, I think across the board, really, really had some good patriots in office. And that was encouraging to see. I didn't appreciate how many they had. I remember at the time I was like, why, you know, there's nobody who wants to do anything. They're all a bunch of cowards. And then I went to the other states and realized Arizona was actually in better shape. So, I have been spending a lot of time on Arizona. I spent months and months on the ground there. I spent months and months on the ground in Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, you know, all of the contested places to interview people. And I probably interviewed hundreds of people, whether it was elected officials, city clerks, poll watchers, poll observers, you know, witnesses. I tried to get a piece from every angle to include in the story.
Now, did you hear the, start with this, the news today, Carrie Lake on Twitter said that on election day, nearly 250,000 vote attempts were rejected.
Yeah. As Arizona.
This is confirmed.
Yep. And they've got expert witnesses that are continuing to investigate. They've been doing the investigation since the November election in 2022. And they have mountains of evidence. I mean, expert witness testimony. They've got whistleblower testimony from people who are working on the ground in Arizona. And they can confirm that there were well over 500,000 votes counted that should not have been counted. And then to the point that you just made, about 250,000 that weren't counted that should have been counted. So there's a lot of problems with the Arizona election. Unfortunately, there's a bigger problem with the Arizona judicial system, or not the system, the judges. But the her appeal will be taken up in February, I think in about a week, or maybe it's next week. And we'll see where it goes from there.
No, they're going to, one, not take away standing from her because it's an election thing, and
they did not throw it out on standing.
The same thing that they've done?
Yeah, no. Okay. Thankfully, they did not do that. She was actually able to present her evidence in court.
Now, suppose she wins. What happens?
If she wins, she'll probably be sworn in as the governor.
In court.
Yeah. I mean, that's the remedy that they're asking for. The remedy that they're asking for is to throw out the Maricopa County votes because they mismanaged their election so badly. So that would mean that Carrie Lake wins the election and she's the governor of Arizona.
Okay, because those kind of trials take time. I mean, it could be a year, could be.
No, it won't be that long. The trial's already over. The trial took place in January. Okay. And the trial judge ruled against her. And so it's up on appeal and the trial court. I suspect a final ruling in February.
Okay, cool. That's actually really good news.
Now, yeah,
let's shift over to Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Pennsylvania. Now, November, December, your hold up with Rudy Giuliani in that team. You're trying to find election fraud. Now, there were a couple of people with you that from Pennsylvania, Greg Stenstrom and Lee Hoops.
Right.
They're in court right now. Why didn't that get put ahead of a lot of the stories that were coming out from the researchers back at the time?
Oh, I don't know.
The
media was doing everything they could to bury any evidence and any investigations. I mean, we were having a hard time being given the chance to share our information. So, as you know, the media just had a full blitz campaign of disinformation trying to convince the public that there was no evidence of voter fraud, or this was the most secure election in U.S. history, or Joe Biden is the most popular president in U.S. history. I mean, they were pushing those narratives so hard. So,
since you brought that up, the most secure election in election history. Now, that was CISA that said that. What that actually and the Election Infrastructure and Sector Coordinating Council. Now, they said that, and they said there was no foreign interference or involvement in the election. Is this true?
Say that again.
Sure. You had CISA, saying it's the most secure election in election history, and that there was no foreign interference or involvement in the election. That's what made it safe, right?
Well, that's what CISA said.
Right, but then if you look at the chair, Brian Hancock of Unison, He's the chair of the Election Infrastructure Sector Coordinating Council that made that statement. When you were at the Willard, they were calling a lot of investigative reporters. Look this up, look this up, look this up, do research on this. And I was working with some people there, actually, behind mm-hmm. the scenes. And they said, look up China. And at first, they were trying to make this vague tie to Hunter Biden, which wasn't there at all. But with Unison is a wholly owned company of International Lottery and something or other, which their direct partner is the Chinese government. So if you hit the partner button at the actual Unison headquarters, you can donate money to the CCP.
Oh, God.
This is
great.
Legal.
Okay.
This is legal. China has, they're running the machines. It's their machines in 38 counties in the United States today.
Right.
And everybody was looking to say, China's making Dominion machines. Yes, they are. Unison makes them. It's International Lottery that makes the machines. And they do it in exchange for Dominion software. And ESNS, it's all the same software. So they have a mutual agreement, and they're making parts for each other.
Right.
Now, it may not be illegal for a Chinese company to be making these machines and own a company on U.S. soil, but why is this moral? I mean, I can't see China allowing this to happen or any other country.
Right. The question is, why are our elected leaders allowing it? It's a good question. And it goes back to, there's other aspects of this about, China buying up our farmland and all this. What I find interesting and what I don't really understand is the Department of Homeland Security in conjunction, it's actually a multi-agency organization because the Treasury Department's also involved, but we have what's called CFIUS. It's Countering Foreign Investments in the U.S. It's a whole committee within the federal government whose sole purpose is to look at what foreign countries are doing in the United States and making sure that they don't pose any national security threat to the United States. I cannot understand for the life of me what they're doing because there are a lot of threats. Why are they allowing China to buy up all of our farmland? And, to your point, I don't know the issue that you're discussing as well, but that's another issue. Like, why is CFIUS allowing this to happen? I mean, I don't know. It's frustrating, but it actually, so even though I don't necessarily address that specific point, although I do address similar points, but that really is the crux of the book is our leaders have failed us. Those in elected office who have the authority to do something about this really have not. On both sides of the aisle, I actually talk about more Republicans than I do Democrats. And so, yeah.
That's actually, where we need to go next to, because it is a problem. Right. And it's really, really frustrating. I mean, I'm a conservative. So you say conservative, okay, we're Republican. Okay, and then you have Mitch McConnell, and I'm, if he's a leader, where does that leave me? What does this do? So you have Donald Trump come along, and it's like, holy moly, here we go. I've been actually following Trump since about 2007 off and on. It was 2007 I got to understand what the character of the man actually was.
Right.
And quite frankly, I owed him a good turn after that. With the Republicans, you're trying to investigate criminal vote tampering. How did they get in the way? What happened with that? Why?
No, I'm sorry.
How did that get in line? The Republican Party itself
was working
against you either actively or passively.
Actively.
Working against you or pushing other agendas.
Yeah. Yes. All of the above. They were absolutely not only in the way, they were obstructing everything that we were trying to do. And they were trying to push an agenda that is anti-MAGA, anti-America first. And I'm not specifically talking about the RNC, although it's probably true with some of those folks. I just wasn't working directly with them on this at that time. But I was working very closely with state and local leaders. And so I go into detail on a lot of state Republican leaders and the obstruction that they caused. I mean, Pennsylvania should have and would have had an Arizona style audit, but for Jake Corman, the president of the Pennsylvania Senate. He was the one that blocked it. He's a Republican, and he completely destroyed any effort to audit Pennsylvania.
Now, this has to be handled at the state level.
Yep.
This isn't a federal issue.
Yep.
Would it be safer to go to the best thing to do would be go back to paper ballots, no?
I like that idea. Personally, that's what I want.
All the issues.
Yes. Yes, I think that's right. I think that's where we need to go. Unfortunately, at the moment, we're not there. You know, most states are using machines or some variation of something electronic. So I think we have to play the cards we've been dealt. This is the playing field. We've been resisting this game for so long because it's so malleable and subject to manipulation. But the last two election cycles have proven to us that we have to play this game if we want to secure the election. So once we can actually get the right people back in office, then we can go back and it might be a little bit of trying to get toothpaste back in the tube, but I think Americans are open to it because none of us like what's happening with our elections right now.
Now, how much time did you spend in Georgia looking at the elections?
In Georgia, I was not on the ground in Georgia. I worked with there were other attorneys on the Trump team that were in Georgia, and I was interviewing them and keeping up with them remotely.
Okay. Now, I was contacted about a couple of the cases down there, you know, just what I know about it. And so what I found, it was actually taken into a court, but the judge said, well, that would have been good during the 2020 election, but it's not good for the runoff.
Right. That's the problem that we've had with every court. They say, oh, you should have brought it sooner. Oh, you should have brought it later. Oh, you don't have standing. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is moot. You know, they get away with manipulating their decisions through timing, but we've had enough of the rulings now at this point that we can see they're pretty schizophrenic because nobody's ever able to figure out how to get the timing right because we all keep getting thrown out of court.
Well, on the recount for the general election, the election observers, and these are people that did the original audits on Dominion when it was Diebold, all the way through. They're looking at Dominion skeptically anyway. So they're watching the recount, and they're watching the source code change on the counter.
Right.
Dozens of times. Something like that just lead to, okay, well, this is a missed election? I mean, why is that?
Because Republicans the party has created a culture where the politicians go along to get along. They don't want to fight. They just want to go along with everything so that they can go to their fancy dinners, go to their fundraisers, keep their fancy titles, pretend like they're somebody important, and go live their lives. They don't want to actually stand up and fight for conservative values. And as a result, we have a weak, impotent Republican Party that's incapable of actually pushing back on the corruption. And because that's been happening for several decades, the Republican appointed judges are in that same vein.
Now, what could Trump do to fix that in one term?
President Trump
at least put it on its way.
Fixing the elections, I don't think President Trump can do, because he's not in office right now. So fixing
not the election, but fixing all these officials in these positions, because rampant and widespread.
Yeah.
How do you
To expose them. We need to expose it. We need to conduct real investigations into criminal activity. I mean, starting with Hunter Biden, that would be a great place to start looking at the Biden crime family. You know, we need to actually conduct real investigations and not expect that Bill Barr is actually going to do anything about this corruption. So, yeah, I think Donald Trump will light a torch in Washington, D.C. and root out all of the corruption in all of these agencies. I think that's what he'll do. And I wouldn't be surprised if he even shut a few of them down. But, you know,
would that stalemate his administration, though? Would he be able to get anything else done? Well, you look at the CIA. The CIA is filled with malfeasance right now. Mm-hmm. Okay, we shut that down. The FBI, well, you need a Federal Bureau of Investigation, but obviously this isn't working anymore.
Partisanship
is just too heavy.
Why don't we just push everything? And I'm not saying this isn't like a platform or anything. I'm just playing devil's advocate. Why not push all of the resources back to the states and have the states investigate? Do we actually need a federal investigative arm? Why don't we just provide the funding that we use for the FBIs to the states to have them investigate?
What I mean, well, okay, problem solved. FBI,
right?
Problem solved.
I don't know. Like I said, I'm just spitballing this with you. I'm not advocating this platform, and I'm not saying I have no insight into what will actually happen, but I'm just saying it's not impossible. The FBI is created. I mean, the FBI isn't even that old. Neither is the CIA. These are all agencies that were created well after the birth of this nation. We don't need them. This was a great nation long before the CIA came around. And I would venture to say the CIA has not made us a better nation. If anything, it's showing some type of bias that is actually harming the American people.
It's anti-American.
It's taking power. Yeah. Yeah.
But what would I haven't even considered that kind of concept, because I figured, well, okay, they're there, you need intelligence. They're always going to be there in one form or the other.
Well, we have 17 intelligence agencies in the United States. 17. Why do we have 17 intelligence agencies? We've got them in the Department of Justice, every branch of the military. We have a couple intelligence agencies in the Department of Homeland Security. We have the Central Intelligence Agency. Mm-hmm. We have 17 intelligence agencies. I personally don't think we need them all.
Oh, again, point made and taken. I agree with you 100%. The other thing, you know, is that it's the amount of political game playing in the agency is incredible.
They're a much greater threat than they are asset. Yeah, they're a much greater threat to our freedoms than they are an asset.
Now, talking to Trump, you said that his greatest drive right now is to get America back on its feet again.
Yep.
What about energy? Has he discussed anything like that you can talk about?
I know he does. What about energy? I mean, I know he does. That's not my portfolio, so I can't really speak to it, but I know that's something that he's very interested in and he's working on with folks, but that's just not my lane, so I don't know a lot about it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, listen, we've got to take a quick break, and when we come back, I want to get back into the election stuff, because I've got some hard questions about it, and hopefully they're good questions about it.
Okay, sounds good.
I'm George Eliason. We have Christina Bob with us today. We're talking about all things Trump, election malfeasance. And quite frankly, she's going to fix this whole thing on her own. She's got some great ideas. This is TNT Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
With his expert analysis and opinion, this is TNT Radio's Timothy Shea.
Don't miss the forest for the trees. The real story today isn't whether Alec Baldwin's Spanish wife, Elaria, is actually from Spain. Of course she isn't. She's Hillary Lynn Hardway Thomas from Weston, Massachusetts. She's as American as Alec is. And the real story of the day isn't whether Damar Hamlin was really at the Bills game. It was probably a body double. Maybe it wasn't. Who knows? Who cares? The real story of the day isn't even that Mike Pence rushed to Joe Biden's rescue in the document scandal by conveniently finding some classified documents in his own house. Funny that he didn't rush to President Trump's defense, finding documents in his own house. No, the real story of the day is the absolute clown world that we're told to believe in, that anybody with half an ounce of common sense knows is completely false. But that's the Democrat Party today. Up is down, left is right, and right is wrong. From MAGAInstitute.com, this is Timothy Shea for TNT Radio.
Suck it up.
It's not a big deal.
Snap out.
Just get over it.
We've all heard it. But if you're experiencing extreme stress, it's not just in your head. It can affect your entire body because toxic stress can hurt us physically without us even knowing it. If you've lost a job, worry about your next meal, or have trouble making it through the day, if you're feeling the effects of stress, we can help. Text STRESS to 211-211 to find a solution.
You're with George Eliason on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back. We're with Christina Bobb, Donald Trump's 2024 election attorney. She has a new book out, and it's a few days old, and it's called Stealing Your Vote, The Inside Story of the 2020 Election and What It Means for 2024, available at Amazon and bookstores everywhere. Oh, by the way, a few days in, it's already a bestseller, so buy your copy. Christina, welcome back.
Thank you.
Okay. Now, during the period November 2020 through the beginning of January 2021, now we had all these investigations going on. You had Rudy Giuliani's investigation and a second one beside it that Sidney Powell was running. Now, while that was going on, did you ever feel that there were people there that were working counterproductively on purpose?
I don't know. Of course, we were always worried about that, right? That's always something that we tried to be careful of. But the folks that I worked closest with, like Rudy Giuliani, Jenna Ellis, crowd.
Yeah,
they. I think all of them had the best of intentions. And, Bernie Kerik was there. These are known American patriots, so Rudy Giuliani, Bernie Kerik and their crew. So I wasn't personally worried about that with the tight circle, but there was always people trying to come butt in and get involved. And everybody was always wary of them, not because they were necessarily doing anything wrong, but just given the circumstances, you're like, I don't even know who these people are. Can we trust them? Who are they? So there was a little bit of that, but I don't think it was the overwhelming feeling.
Okay. I came across a couple instances of that, inside of what was going on. And, quite frankly, they were working against Rudy Giuliani at the time.
Well, yeah, certainly Rudy Giuliani had a lot of people that were trying to take him down. That is true. And I mean, look at what they did. They couldn't get to President Trump to take Trump down, so they took down Rudy Giuliani instead. He certainly sacrificed a lot for this effort.
It's kind of funny. I just don't see those two terms together at all. Rudy Giuliani taken down. That doesn't work for me. You just can't do that to that guy. He's just not.
Oh, no, he's an American hero. But they tarred and feathered him. They are trying to disbar him. I don't think they'll be successful at that, but they're certainly trying. I mean, they shut him down so that he couldn't continue to work at his law firm. I mean, it has cost him dearly, but he's an amazing patriot, and he's still in the fight and still MAGA and all of that.
Well, I mean, he's an amazingly strong personality. And that's what I mean by, I just don't see anybody taking him down. Yeah, you can take some of his stuff, but he's just going to stand there. I'm Rudy Giuliani.
Yeah, that's right.
When are you going to start trying to do something?
I mean,
you know, that's just his personality. And quite frankly, if you go back to 2001, that's what held up America at that time.
Right, right. He was exactly the right person to be in that position, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And you have the same exact guy today in 2023 going into 2024 now. So, you know, it's just a shame that people forgot that, or they never understood that to begin with.
Right.
All right. So now we talked about that. One of the people specifically I wanted to ask about is, while you were doing those investigations, have any contact with Patrick Byrne at all?
I did. I crossed paths with him a few times, actually.
What's your take on him?
You know, I don't know. There's so much swirl around all of that. I don't have anything in my own mind that I can say this is the conclusion I've come to, because, you know, I really, the thing that bothered me was his, you know, he actually was one who published really nasty things about Rudy that I happen to know were not accurate. I think he believed they were accurate, but they weren't. So I don't know. I think Patrick was trying to do what he thought was the right thing and try to be part of the solution. And he was very generous with his resources, as far as I'm told. But you know, I never got close enough to him to like really form my own opinion. I don't know. That's a question mark for me.
Okay. You know, obviously I've gone a little bit further with, you know, than that with him. What he was trying to do is set up a string of question marks where things couldn't get answered, throw a lot of dust in the air. So there'd be a lot of investigations, set up situations where he'd be included and be in among the Patriots because he wants to be president.
And this Patrick Byrne wants to be president?
This is the short seats. Yes, this is the fast track to do that.
Okay.
Become the hero.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. The other thing about it is, you know, his whole thing with Dominion, that whole mess he started, it was him and his people specifically. Now, he started it way before the election.
How so?
And he actually got permission to do it from that great and wonderful and beneficial Trump supporter, Warren Buffett. Oh, wait a minute. He supports Biden. But anyway, he gave Patrick permission to go save the 2020 election. Yeah. And show yourself.
I didn't know that.
Now, why would he want to do this?
I didn't know any of that. I'm sorry, say again.
Well, what's that?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear your question.
Oh, well, if he's working for Warren Buffett and gets his permission to do these things, and Warren Buffett is a supporter of Joe Biden, where does this guy actually sit?
Right. I had no idea that he had any affiliation with Warren Buffett whatsoever. I don't know any of that.
Well, he calls him Rabbi. He grew up as Warren Buffett was like his uncle. Now, the other thing, the other part of this is even better. His company was actually going under. He drove the company out of its own nick that he built. It can't survive in that anymore. So what he needed to do was find a new nick. And that's why he pushes blockchain. He's taking the company into blockchain. Oh. He left the company. He left the company because he knew he was going to throw up so much dirt that he'd be sued for the 2020 election. And he got everybody else sued too. Okay. His answer to that, at the same time you're doing investigations in Arizona, he's bringing a blockchain election company into Arizona. He did the same thing in Michigan. He did the same thing everywhere.
Wow.
His company owns a blockchain company. Now, the blockchain election solution is actually worse than Dominion. But if he gets parts of the country to go blockchain, that's a quick way to a few billion dollars very fast.
Right. Yeah. Interesting. I didn't know any of that.
And you can become president. Now,
where did he wanted to become president? Because I hadn't heard that. I'm just curious.
He talks to his circles like that.
Oh, okay. Oh, interesting.
Very close people.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, that's ultimately what he wants. He'll settle for being the kingmaker, but that's what Patrick Byrne is about. So it was never about actually helping anybody except for Patrick Byrne, you know, which is a shame.
Interesting.
And if you look at the people that he used for researchers and what they were actually kicking up, if you look at the Patrick Byrne generated media back in the day, those were all the stories that were causing Donald Trump trouble and Rudy Giuliani trouble.
Hmm. Wow. Okay. That's interesting.
You know, so that's where it sits. At some point, fairly soon, I'm going to do, you know, an actual proper expose on this.
Yeah.
Now, so this side of the story, you had no clue on.
Right. I crossed paths with him. I know him a little bit, but I didn't have any in-depth discussions with him or anything like that.
Okay. I'm the guy, I go too in-depth, I guess.
no such thing.
Now, January 6th, you had a front row freaking seat to all the nonviolence.
I did. It's funny. Yeah, I was in the Cannon.
4 minutes.
Yeah, I was in the Cannon Rotunda. I saw what happened inside, which was nothing. And then I stepped outside onto the lawn and was right out front. And I saw the beginning. I saw the folks start to kind of cause a little bit of a disturbance. And it was so small and so easily containable that I didn't even bother to take my phone out and take pictures or do anything. And remember, I was there as a reporter, but I didn't bother because, you know, there were so many Capitol Police. I was like, oh, they're going to quench that pretty quickly. That's going to be a small thing. And it wasn't until later, you know, I left and went to the Willard. It wasn't until later when I got to the Willard that I saw what they were claiming had happened. And it just baffled me because it was not at all what I witnessed.
Now, directly after the fact, I started looking into this and I got called by a security company, actually, to help ID some people and do backgrounds. Did you know that there were two contingents of Ukrainians there?
No, that I didn't know that.
They did two of the three break-ins. Break the windows.
Break-ins of the actual Capitol. Oh, interesting.
Yeah, yeah. I actually, circumstantial evidence, I actually got an Azov commander. He actually flew into Ecuador on January 7th and left with Peter Poroshenko, which is on a commercial flight, no less.
Wow.
The next day. Okay. As an alibi. Then they had another Azov commander that was in Chile all December, and he's the commander of all foreigners. One does crowd instigation. The other one is the commander of foreign fighters, which would include Americans at the time.
Wow,
that's it needs to be fleshed out beyond what I can do here, you know.
Yeah.
But
well, yeah, that's why we got to secure our elections so we can get Donald Trump
exactly.
back in office and actually do real investigations.
But these Ukrainians are on video from the major Ukrainian news station that was following them up into the Capitol.
Wow, interesting.
So, yeah, Christina, I'd like to have you on again soon.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you so much. I'd love that.
Yeah, I'm sorry for taking up so much of the time, too. We'll be in touch. I'll have you back. This has been Christina Bob, and thank you so much for coming by today.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the time.
All right. Bye-bye now.